in my universe. I am a baby in my universe. I'll live forever.
Audio right now for the program, but I haven't. I haven't started the tape for good. Thankfully, anyway. Thankfully. Oh, God. Listen, Ustream is such a piece of garbage. I am so sick of technology. I want to read. Fuck my ass out with soap. I want to read. Oh, this is just terrible. Fine. It's fine. Maybe that's how I'll be today. In Arabs. Maybe that'll get the audiences up. I don't fucking care. Listen, this fucking Ustream is a piece of fucking crap. It's all crap. This fucking Flash bullshit. Fucking had it with this shit. Why is it every day before I do my fucking program, I have to struggle with all this goddamn technology? That's what these fat-ass dweebs like Robert Scoble are supposed to be fucking doing. This is not my fucking job to figure out your goddamn piece of shit website. I can't even get my fucking chat room on, and every time I try and get it to work, you give me a fucking Firefox error. And don't tell me it's me, because it's been on 3 different fucking computers and 2 different goddamn fucking operating systems. Ustream is shit. They're all fucking shit. So is that one with the fucking retard. You know, where they kick you off if you have more viewers than the goddamn retard. Fucking bitch. Let me turn this tape on. I'm so angry with people. Oh, we're dweebs. Oh, but now suddenly the dweebs have opinions on the election. I love this. How long have we been trying to get... And Bicycle Mark's going to be on with me soon, thankfully. And then maybe I can get dressed. But how long have we been trying... Have I been talking about getting these fucking tech bloggers to talk about something real? Where are my breasts? Something for real, you know? No, they just ignore it, and they just type. And then all of a sudden, oh, there's an election. Oh, apparently, oh, it's on TV. Let's have an opinion. Let's just argue whether or not this... I'm talking about the Gilmore gang yesterday. These fucking half-dead zombies. I guess the zombies all the way dead. I can't even fucking see. Gotta put my other glasses on. These aren't very pretty. Let's see here. Okay, let's call Marsk. Hopefully he's... Yeah, there he is. Okay, we'll call him now. Why is that noise coming so loud? Why does it always fucking do that? How's it? Mark? Oh.
Yeah, hello.
Can you see me on the program?
I do, I see you.
Listen, I'm so angry at Ustream because they're fucking... I can't even see the Christ fucking chat room, so you'll have to tell me what people are saying. Piece of shit.
They're talking about choppiness. I guess they're talking about...
Are they now? Oh, that's mm-hmm. great. What else? What else are they talking about?
Well, the Mindcaster is present. We should take attendance every session.
Yeah, that would be great if I could fucking see the goddamn chat room. Is it real bad? Is the audio so bad that it's not listenable?
No, the audio is fine.
So what's choppy?
I think they might mean because you walked away from the mic and you have that effect where you walk away from the mic and it sounds like there's no audio.
Oh, I didn't know that. That must be...
I forgot what that's called. Fine. So we got Zen Nunu. We got some Amsterdam video bloggers today. I guess because now we have nothing to do with because Ryan and Jay left, so...
What do you mean we got some... Mindcaster's there with you?
No.
Oh, you mean online?
Yeah, in the chat room.
Oh, that's nice. Who else is there besides the turd?
Zen Nunu, he's a Portuguese fellow. I don't know, did we meet him last time? Yeah, at the first Vlog Europe that you and I went to, that you took me to.
I don't remember no Portuguese. I just remember the one that I took the picture of his penis on the train. But he was from Miguel.
Snakes on a plane, penis on a train.
Miguel.
Yeah, that's right. He wants to have Vlog Europe in Portugal. But that's for 2 years from now.
He's going to have a little bit more than Vlog Europe there, if you know what I mean.
No, oh, okay, right.
Anyway, so you had a nice visit with Jay and Ryan.
Yeah, it really was.
I started to listen to your podcast, but then I got all rushed because I had to get ready for this program. I actually was playing it earlier today on this pre-show.
I really didn't know all the stuff that they were doing, or I guess I didn't, you know, whenever somebody comes to you in person and explains something they're working on or something they're passionate about, it just makes more sense to you in person.
How so? What did you not know that they're doing? Killing chickens?
Well, I knew about that because I saw the videos. But I knew they were building like what looked like WordPress skins, you know, for the blog. But
the vlog in a box.
But I hadn't really thought about how it's really more about, you know, if you made something like you imagine your shows from last year, it does suck how they're buried. And, you know, and if you want to go find them, you got to go searching. I hate how content, just like everything in society, is so, you know, here today and tomorrow it doesn't fucking matter. It's like with the news. Like, the news programs have no history. CNN...
What? Ledger's dead? What? Are you serious? Oh, that's terrible. Oh, my God. Didn't he make a movie about gay people, but he's not gay? Oh, no! He's dead! Who cares? Sure. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. You were ranting.
Did his autopsy come back yet?
Who gives a fuck? Jesus. Yeah, the autopsy said he's dead. God, who cares? So I was starting to talk about the tech bloggers and how, like, all the there was a Gilmore Gang that Dave Winer posted a link to, and I always liked the Gilmore Gang when they talk about technology. And, you know, and it's always bugged me. I don't know if you remember a while ago I had Steve Gilmore on the show, and I'm like, Steve, why don't you ever talk about politics? And not just you, but the other tech bloggers. You know, here you have the biggest audience of all the, you know, tech bloggers have the biggest audience of anybody on the internet, and all you do is sit there and masturbate about the latest, you know, buzzword, whether it's scalability or modability or bloatability and iPhone. And then, you know, and then he just like, well, there's right, you know, we just believe that, you know, there's really lesser true evil, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden they're really into this election, like, oh, it's the biggest thing ever. Like, what? Why is it so easy to grasp this retarded little contest of two clones, one with a vagina?
There's the easy way to look at the elections, which is just as a horse race, and every candidate is a horse. And
are you
to just
racist?
Report about it for a race.
No, racist.
No. And I'm not animalist either. I mean, horses are fine. But, you know, they treat it like a race, so it's all about who got in the best jab yesterday.
Right, right. It's poli-sci. To me, that's when I was in college. That's what all the poli-sci was, students were about. I'm like, you call this this is what political science is? You just, like, it has nothing to do with anything. And first of all, it's not science. It's not even pseudoscience. Astrology is more science than political science. It's just like horse racing, yeah, like you say.
Yeah, everything's a sport. It's just like that old fact that used to go around about how people only want to vote for somebody who they think will win.
Yeah, and they talk about who's winnable and all that crap. Oof, it makes me want to barf. But again, I need to state my position because, you know, it changes every week. But I, even though it's kind of a retarded race, I am going to state my position of the week, my POTW, which is none of the above. And the reason is because none of the above, except for Kucinich, who is fucking, you know, I ruled out already because I don't believe he's really running in his mind. But I posted on this blog on Insane, on Yeast Radio, that Al Gore did a post on his current TV site, you know, all out completely supporting gay marriage and equal rights for gays, period. No exceptions, equal rights, which is what I want. And I figure if Al Gore can support it, I should expect no less from a candidate. And I'm tired of gay people completely not existing from this race for strategic reasons on the part of both Obama and clitoris. And I need to, you know, and that's, I'm sorry, that's just not good enough. That means for me, I'm not going to vote for Clinton and I'm not going to vote for Obama. If that means voting for Kucinich, even though I don't believe he's really running, then I will. But I will not vote, at least today, because my opinion changes every day, but I will not vote for Clinton and I will not vote for Obama unless one of them, and Edwards has already ruled himself out for this reason, but unless they specifically, like Al Gore, endorse 100% equal rights for gays and lesbians as equal human beings. So that's my position of the day.
Very good.
Get fucked.
There's a lot of chat here in the chat room. I don't know if I should report about it.
Please do, because I can't read it.
It involves someone who's not your boss, so we'll skip that.
Excuse me. What is it?
Is your mama here?
If it's not clever, I don't care. Is it clever?
It's, you know, well, it's a little confusing, actually. But Loic, there's a quote here from Loic Lemur.
Yeah.
What did he say? He admires Condi Rice. I don't remember why.
Well, he was on CNN International. They interviewed him for blogging.
He must be intelligent then if he's on CNN.
Right. But see, I didn't, as soon as I saw it, because he had Twittered that he's going to be on CNN International. So I, of course, I don't know if you saw this, but immediately when he went on, he said, I'm going on in 3 minutes. So I posted me making a duty on the seismic in three parts. So it was making a duty part one, making a duty part two, or part two of number two, and then part three of number two. And then I outed Anderson Cooper on number part three.
Gloria Vanderbilt's son.
Gay son.
I was looking through Seismic, or accidentally maybe, and, you know, I'm critical of everything. I'm a critical mind. Doesn't matter what you do, I'm critical. And Seismic is no exception. And I found this video of Loic, who's the founder of Seismic, talking to some university class, maybe it was a community college, I don't know, and he's talking about why he moved to San Francisco to start his business, and he called San Francisco the center of the world.
He's an idiot. See, this is like, you know, a lot of people do that, and I would imagine Jay and Ryan are guilty of this too. Like it's the new Wild West. Like, why the fuck would you? Yeah, whatever. Keep talking. I gotta fix my hair.
And go to their ahead. Credit, no, I'm Jay listening. And Ryan love. I mean, they love running around Europe, and I can see it in their eyes. They could see living here or anywhere. They just happen to be in San Francisco, and it's true. You know, there happens to be money for projects, which include potentially some creative people, but also some real assholes, as we both know, who get venture capital that's in San Francisco. But I just to say that San Francisco is the center of the world, I wouldn't even say that Amsterdam is the center of the world. That's just pompous and dumb.
Did they run out of their fire ant money yet or no?
You mean PodTech?
No, I mean fire ants. You know, they made like 100,000 plus when they sold fire ant.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know if they've run out, but I know that, you know, they're always looking, just like any of us, they're
hustling,
looking for better ways to fund in the future. How will they fund their work?
Right.
But the best
thing
is,
are they funding it now? I was kidding.
I think
stealing
the
PodTech. Ooh, oops, my head. There was a dead rat that fell in my hands.
The benefits from the PodTech. What is going on?
Never mind me. Just talk.
Are those jelly bellies in the background?
Yes, that's from Sharon from Tampoon. Sharon from Tampoon sent me these. And she said, I really like your show now that you stopped doing so many mashups again. I know, get fucked. And then she gave me the black jelly beans.
That's nice.
Well, I ate half of them last night.
Does the bag say BLAQUE?
Let me check. I don't know. They're not from Cheryl.
The licorice flavor? Yeah.
You know, somebody sent me $100 yesterday. Somebody named Shane. Thank you very much, by the way.
There were a lot of people asking about your PayPal. By the way, anybody...
There's a link right there. It says tip jar. Doesn't it work?
Where's that link? On the...
There. I took off my turbine. Does that look better?
Yeah.
My scalp moved. I don't know how that happened. I can't even get this fucking headphone. Anyway, I wrote down some topics I thought we might be able to broach. God, this is a fucking mess. Why can't this fucking chat room work? I hate this Ustream. You know, these dweebs, why aren't they doing their fucking job? Yeah, I make shows. You make shows. You know, these people, they go around the fucking conferences. Robert Scoble, by the way, he'll be tagged for this since I just mentioned him, is at the Davos World Economic Forum in Switzerland. Why the fuck does he need to go to that? Who the fuck pays for that fat-ass dweeb to go to a conference about world economics when he should be fixing my goddamn fucking Ustream crap? I mean,
It's a terrible conference, too.
What is it?
I mean, it should have been shut down ages ago. It's just an elite club. It's not, you know, none of those people are elected. It's just a little organization that makes little financial plans for the world, and they're among the most powerful people in the world.
I'm just gonna say I'm a mess today and leave it at that. I can't do anything about this look. So it's not some sort of a UN. It's just some sort of unofficial, unsanctioned by anyone thing that happens to get gazillions of dollars or gazillions of press. Zillions.
No, it's just a bunch of really rich fucks that have a little clubhouse in Switzerland. They get together once a year. Thankfully, tons of people go and demonstrate from around Europe and the world.
What do they demonstrate about?
To try and stop the meeting.
How fat they are. Oh, I can see the chat. It's just that it doesn't have my name. Oh, there's Bob Bitchler. I know Bob. He's the...
We got a question from the audience here. Oh, it's Chris says, do you think major media should be held accountable for their complicity in the lies that led to the Iraq war, like some German newspaper publishers were held accountable for complicity? Yeah.
Duh. That's not a question. Yeah. That's a statement in the form of a question. But yeah, of course I do.
Yeah.
Why? Did you give him the access? Did you see my email?
Yep, I did.
You did? Thank you. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. So we can all share that little Google Notebooks that we do. Now, I have my little notes here that I made. I made a few notes. Oh, Mark, I would like you to tell me and the audience, you always have some list of My vagina hurts. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. You always listen to some podcasts that are particularly informative. So I thought I would ask you what your favorite podcasts and video blogs are right now, or ones you would suggest that maybe people aren't generally subscribed to. In other words, not this one, not comedy, but things where you get information. I know you mentioned one on the show with Ryan and Jay about... I forgot already what it was, but can you go through some of those, please?
Yeah, I don't remember what one I mentioned with Jay and Ryan. It might have been Open Congress, which is...
No, she mentioned Open Congress like it's new, but that's been around for a long time.
It's been around, right, yeah. Right. I mentioned a podcast, I don't remember, but among my favorites lately... this is going to be... these are the ones in English.
Because the one you mentioned was Deutsche Welle. That's the one. Is that not in English?
Exactly. And people get all nervous because they think that that's in German. But the German broadcaster that does stuff in international – in different languages, they make a show called Living Planet from Deutsche Welle. So you can just search in iTunes or on the internet for Living Planet and maybe DW. That's the little initials for Deutsche Welle. And they do a great – this is an environmental program. They get stories from all over the world, but especially Europe, and they find really cool things that people are doing, that governments are sort of trying to do or not do with the related to the environment. I've been listening to this podcast from – it's called Mixed Greens. It's pretty good. It's from the
– Mustard and Turnip Greens?
Who makes this? I don't remember. EWG. Ecology. Well, never mind. Oh, okay. The Environmental Working Group.
Okay.
They're good. I like The Guardian for like daily news, and you can get the podcast called News Desk from The Guardian Unlimited.
Oh, let me write this down. So that's a bunch of video or audio?
These are audio so far.
The Guardian has one called News Desk?
The Guardian has several. I like News Desk because basically they thumb through the newspaper, thumbing like Robert Scoble does to you. And they go through the newspaper, and they bring in reporters who talk about their stories. And it's about a 15, 20-minute podcast. It's good. It's every day. I like it a lot. I like that newspaper a lot. So, you know.
I'm doing Chris says to get my name in this. Chris says to get my name in this.
Only now it's echoing.
How can I log in when it's fucking echoing? Excuse me.
How can I log in when it's fucking echoing? Excuse me.
How can I log in when it's echoing?
Excuse me.
How can I log in when
he loves News Desk? Yes, I'm with that.
Did you hear that echoing, audience, for a second? I can't log in because when I log in, it goes into a loop because that's how you hear my sound.
Let me answer some people in the message board here. Osborne, is that Richard? Osborne,
yes.
B.
That's Richard. Osborne.
Are those links on my site? I guess not all of them, actually, because I've just stopped trying to update my links on my site. No, they're not on my site, but you know what? Maybe I'll make a special post about that. Most of them are on my site, like under podcasts.
I do like the Adam Curry comments. Same as Adam Curry saying Ron Paul is the best because he was on his show. Well, Madge, your biggest fan, Adam Curry, went from gadget wanking to talking politics. And then Curry is a twat when it comes to politics, so fucking retarded and detached.
Duke Slurry is here. Yay, Duke.
Hi, Duke Slurry. Oh, Fashion Slurry made some beautiful pictures of me and Trotsky. One of them is called Mona Trotsky. And I posted it on my Flickr. I couldn't figure out how to blog it because it didn't have the blog button, but... What, Doug Slurry, what is Fashion Slurry's Flickr account so people can look?
Apparently she's next to him.
Oh, hi, Fashion Slurries.
I'm guessing they don't have any clothes on.
Is it just Fashion Slurry? Well, who wants to co-host? You and your co-host? You're naked? Co-host. You and your co-host?
Should I go on? I mean, we do. I'll write these up in a little list for all the listen turds. It's flickr.com/photos/flesh fashion snooty,
which is spelled
fashion Slourie.
Okay,
I guess we'll put a link in the show notes to that too, so fashion will have lots of people.
So
I haven't visited in a long time. I have to
Do you know if Jay and Ryan, so they stayed at Papa's house of Mac Darkman, right?
Yes.
Did they shit on the toilet? Did they get any flack from leaving duty hairs on the toilet like me?
No flack so far, but, you know, sometimes his father takes...
Yeah. It'll take a while, I'm sure. till Otto gives the full duty hair report after he goes through with the microscope on the Terlet. That was such bullshit.
Yeah, but we had a nice vlogger dinner at Macdock Man's house. So Jay and Ryan cooked for everybody, and there were a whole lot of video bloggers in that room.
And you saw Daniel from the Juice, they take it? From
yes, Daniel was there. Daniel was there.
Yeah, he still has a job. That's good.
Yeah.
What? So did you finish listing your favorite podcasts? I know I've been interrupting you. So we had the Guardian newscast.
I got too many mixed in other languages. I'm not trying to show off. It's a problem. I like a lot of the
ones.
Well,
you can mention
friends.
The other ones in other languages, too. Some people are...
Yeah, well, there's one that I love for any Portuguese speakers, the few that are out there. It's from a radio station called TSF. It's a big radio station in Portugal. And it's called Pessoal e Transmissível. It's all about interviews.
Swallow light transmission, it sounds like. I like
it has a lot of international people, but also national people in Portugal who do important things. I listen to the International Herald Tribune, only a few select feeds from them.
Aren't they? I listen to the one, I think it gives me like 20 things a day. It's a huge feed, whatever it is, it's like everything. But isn't it weird? Like, because that really comes from the New York Times, doesn't it? I mean, isn't that basically this? And so, like when you get their propaganda pieces, and the New York Times has had propaganda pieces ever since they, you know, World War II or before, as far as I know. But their propaganda pieces are so incredibly obvious. Like, did you hear the one they had an opinion piece by some woman? And she's like talking about why we should not negotiate with the Iraqis because they, you know, tortured her husband. And she's like, Iran, not Iraq. And she's saying, well, Iran did this and they tortured my husband, so we shouldn't talk to them. But the thing is, everything she accused the Iranian government of doing are things that our government does. You know, so like, maybe we shouldn't talk to ourselves. Maybe we should just all shut the fuck up and Twitter each other with vaginas.
I don't know what I was watching, but there was an interview about the whole, some people might be paying attention.
Whose hole?
Whorehole.org. But there was an interview not on whorehole.org, not with Cheryl Murkowski for a change.
Not a children's album, then, I think.
No. And they were asking about this confrontation, you know, next to Iran in the water where the U.S. Navy, you know, said some shit and then the Iranians were
Complete fabrication? Yeah.
Yeah. And what someone was talking about was even it could even be just slightly true that there was some kind of confrontation, but you really have to put it into context, which the media never does. Then that is, there you are, you're Iran, you know, you have your little military, and all around you, you have people who are saying they're against you. You have Israel, you have, I mean, a lot of the Arab states are not with Iran. You have Afghanistan has NATO, not far from Iran, obviously not far on the border.
Right.
In Iraq, you've got all these U.S. troops. I mean, you've got a lot of hostile forces around you. And so you're a little bit on edge. You know, you put your military a little bit on alarm.
Right.
So, you know, so to act like it's a big shock that there's a misunderstanding, a near anything. It shouldn't be like, they got some nerve. Like, well, they're under a lot of pressure.
You know what amazes me so much throughout this, and this is my constant thought throughout the Stairmaster, and I hate to be this way because Max Kaiser's ego is already the size of Nebraska, but everything that is going on in the news, it's like, it makes Max Kaiser look almost like some sort of a madam, you know, crystal ball lady. I mean, he was really right on about this stuff. I mean, not that the rest of us weren't, but when it comes to like the oil bourse and all that stuff, like as soon as Iran started trading in euros and stopped trading in dollars, I think it was the week after that the supposed, you know, Gulf of Tonkin style incident happened. I mean, it's just the very important point about Iran's, you know, trading in euro instead of dollars was completely missed by the media. And, oh, what a coincidence. The economy's tanking even further. And now they're talking depression and not just recession, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and just the way everything has fallen, you know, and the economy's fallen. And I see it as very simple, you know. I look at it from a macro perspective and sort of a systemic perspective. You know, I'm a goddess, Mother Earth and everything. And the way I see it is, you know, the U.S. is fucking the world. We're not doing anything to fix the environment. There's only one way that the rest of the world is going to stop us from destroying their planet, which is take us down economically. Whether that's happening as a just sort of an organic process, which I believe this is, or if it's intentional, doesn't matter. But that's the result, and that's what's happening. So you can stick all the fucking, you know, give people $800 and give them a fucking debit card so they can buy some more tampons, and that's going to stimulate the fucking economy all you want. It's not going to stop the U.S. economy from getting crushed if we continue to destroy the fucking planet. Lips.
Mm-hmm. I just want to add one more thing to that. Wow. I love Max very much, or at least like him a lot, and they've done a lot for me. But. A lot of people, including Max and Stacey on Karma Bank, karmabankradio.com, they really enjoy being right.
That's true.
And I think we're missing something. And even 9/11 conspiracy people with all their websites and their videos have the same problem. They lay out a little, you know, argument, which may or may not be right. In Max's case now, a lot of it is turning out to be right. But you're not offering anything to stop it. You're not offering much of anything. All you're doing is being right and celebrating being right. I mean, they spend a lot of time.
And making lots of money being right.
Yeah. And this isn't fair. I'd rather give a chance for Max to speak back to this. But I think I've tried to say this to them, and that's it's not enough to just be right. I think you need to do more. If you're serious about being concerned about problems in the world, don't just be happy about being right. You know, start offering some real suggestions as what can be done, be it on a macro or a micro level.
Well, don't you think he's doing something to that effect by being on Al Jazeera and exposing, you know, much of the world that previously didn't know to how the system works?
I think that what you just said is a good thing. You're right.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if you listen to the program, it's always
program. It's
as
a
you
program.
Can see, programs, pogrom. Excuse me. Yeah. As you can see, the economy's tanking. As we said, as you can see, like we told you. And I don't understand. It's like kind of a celebratory.
Well, Max is making a shitload of money off that. That's why.
Yeah.
You know, with his.
I don't like the celebratory sort of. I predicted right. I mean, I guess financial people are just as bad. If they actually get it right, they're just like, "Ha! I told you." And I just don't. Listening to him is someone writes is like having someone remind me how fat I am. It's good for me to hear, but not too fun.
Who wrote that? I can't. None of this chat thing.
He hasn't logged in, but it's a fat reference, so it might be Andy Meltzer.
Yeah, could be. He's the only fat person around. I can't see. People are like Skyping me stuff. It's really hard for me to see unless I put my bifocals on under my regular glasses, like now. So Chris Regal wrote, maybe you can reduce the video quality to improve the image choppiness. Is that still something I need to do, or is that taken care of itself? Also, Mindcaster has been kicked off of Ustream for saying retarded. He's been kicked off. Now, will somebody explain to me why people are getting kicked off? This happened to Cheryl when she said me prolapse long time, which none of that is even remotely profane. Why
don't
are
write that.
And Cheryl is an operator. She has ops. So why the fuck are people getting kicked off of Ustream, which prides itself on having no censor? Look, I'll read the thing right here at the bottom of the screen. We're giving you the ability to moderate your chat room, decide what level of moderation works for your show, and more. And more. Click here for more information. You know what? Fuck you, you fat-ass dweebs. So here's this. So, Chris, have you seen these commands? Because you have an operator. Are you?
Oh, I just noticed what? Chris was calling me. Chris, why are you doing that? What's going on?
He's calling you? Why? Oh, here, I have him. Okay, hold on. Hold on a second. It's nice to be.
Is this on? Can you hear me?
Not yet. Hold on.
All right. I just wanted to get another conversation.
Okay, but hold on. Okay, now let's try this. Okay, we're all there now, and now I can take my glasses off. Chris, before you start on with your business, whatever you wanted to talk about, did you see this list of commands?
Yeah, I put them in at the beginning of the show, the moderate off, the censor off.
Why the fuck is it kicking people off when they type things like prolapse and vomit or whatever it was that Mindcast?
I don't know. Can you just type it right now? Can you type !! Moderate off?
I'm not logged in because it won't let me log in, remember? I'm just logged in as user number 7622 banana whatever.
Maybe that's the problem. I don't know.
I'm going to go back to Blog TV tomorrow. At least there we get retards.
They have that retarded girl.
Yeah.
Hey, I know that John Edwards' his position on gay marriage and gay rights was
sucks.
Pretty shitty. But oddly enough, in the last couple of weeks, maybe month, he's been talking about really, really strenuously, really strongly standing up to corporate America.
Yeah.
And he's been very verbal about this. Mark, what do you think about, you said on Karma Bank they don't offer any kind of solutions, they just kind of gloat about the disasters. What do you think about changing world trade policy? Because I think Edwards and Kucinich have talked about that, and I think that is one possible aspect of the solution to a lot of these things.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, I definitely think it needs to be done, and actually some countries are already doing it. I'm sitting here working on a show about the new bank in Latin America, the Banco del Sur, and it's all about not using the banking system and the international banking institutions that are based in the U.S. I think that's great that they're doing it. I don't really believe, I believe Kucinich, but I also believe Kucinich is not going to get elected.
Right.
I don't believe Edwards is going to get elected, so
right.
It comes hard to say, like, hooray for him. But still, I believe whoever gets elected, they got to deal with a Congress. Even if they're serious, they're completely serious about getting out of these sort of banking institutions and doing it differently, they've got a whole business world that is against them.
Right.
I'm saying they want to continue to outsource. They want to continue to make us even more of a service economy. I don't even know how much more of a service economy you can get.
Pretty grim here, yeah.
Yeah. So these wheels, so to speak, are so in motion that I don't think realistically any of these guys, unless they're willing to do some serious revolutionary things, which I don't think they are, I don't think they can really do anything. I think it's more rhetoric, and it's definitely rhetoric that works in your part of the country with people who...
And you're talking about revolutionary things in order to stop the sort of corporate government of the world.
They would piss off anybody
in the corporate
world that has ever supported them, you know, and they'd have them against them, you know, just like in back in the day where Ralph Nader.
Right, but I mean, what is the point that you're saying that these people are? What is the objective here, to stop the corporate control of everything in the world, or what?
Stop legislating based on the same the corporate agenda. So corporations want certain laws so that they can keep doing what they're doing. Which means, you know, moving out of the U.S., outsourcing as much as possible, and even outsourcing their outsourcing. So moving to even new backwards places in the world, not backwards, excuse me, but, you know, underdeveloped, taking advantage of even more fragile communities.
But, you know, what's interesting, though, is what's happening. And I kind of think, and I see huge problems with the sort of the corporate, the grasp they have, corporations have on the whole world, but especially when it comes to the environment and pretty much everything. But with respect to trade, you know, I think that it's not such a huge problem as many people think it is, because I was listening to the Economist podcast the other day, and the U.S. economy is so bad right now. It's getting so bad that we are actually cheaper for a lot of countries to manufacture. So there's this German company that just opened a huge factory in, I think it was Georgia, because it's cheap for them to, so the manufacturing jobs will come back here, maybe.
Yeah, but the reason it's in Georgia and not somewhere like Illinois or Michigan or Ohio is because it's traditionally non-labor union down there, so they can cut corners and pay people less. I think
absolutely.
I think a lot of it has to do with, I think this trade is very big, at least from here in Michigan, because the jobs have totally evaporated. Totally, there's no foundation for people to have any money to spend to get the economy going again. And I think one of the largest problems is dispelling the myth in people's minds that the idea of free trade and global trade is something that's good for everybody. I think slowly people are starting to realize that, but it's such a huge chunk of conventional wisdom. Like the people saying San Francisco is the center of the world. Well, it's absurd. It's just breaking down. Trying to get people to realize that's not going to solve it.
Well, hopefully it'll fall in the fucking ocean.
But it's so ingrained in culture, you know, what's good for business is good for America.
I think that's changing that. I think the part about, like, I think there's a lot of people questioning free trade and all that stuff. Unfortunately, it's about, you know, 15 years too late.
Right, and the people who are questioning it don't, at this point, exert that much power on government besides their vote, and even their vote isn't very powerful so far.
Anyway, but I don't care. But with respect to his position, I don't give a shit if his position is, you know, feed the world, you know, universal health care. At this point in time, and my position changes every week, first of all, I've met the guy and he's a bozo. He's full of shit. I'm sorry. Yeah. But second of all, regardless, because that's an unfair disadvantage that he has, because I haven't met the... Well, I haven't... Whatever. But the thing is, at this point where I stand right now, the candidates are so close together that in terms of how I believe they would really govern and in terms of their integrity or lack thereof, that for me, my vote is so ambiguous as far as who I would choose anyway that I think it's fair and reasonable for me to vote for none of the above because I just can't see voting for anybody who doesn't respect my 100% equal rights as a human being because that says an awful lot about how that person would govern.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. I just think that's not American, that's not human, and that speaks for a mentality which is the problem and not the solution, which is just living in this reality where things in real life don't matter, like humanity doesn't matter. What matters is politics and strategy and all that bullshit. And speaking of, by the way, what you notice all the peace activists are completely gone from the media stage right now? Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that's weird. They continually censor them. They're not going to give them any kind of coverage.
Yeah, well, I'm going to try and contact.
What's weird is people, you know, and we were all part of the peace movement, I think, but in our own ways, I guess.
What peace movement? I wore a T-shirt.
But that's the equivalent of being part of the peace movement these days. And that's what's weird. I see a lot of here and there, be it in the media or in regular life, where people give a lot of credit to all those demonstrations in 2003, 2004. Actually, none of them were in 2003, right? Very few.
Well, there was actually some huge ones. There was like the biggest one ever in England, I think.
Well, yeah. Here in Europe, there were huge ones immediately.
Right.
And
right.
Then the U.S., it took a while before you can get those huge ones, it seemed. Although New York had a nice one at the same time. I remember February 24th, I think it was 2004 at that point.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I see a lot of, like, everyone patting each other on the back about how well we did now that people are against the war. And I really don't think much credit needs to go to, you know, people who went out and protested the war this time around because... It was a sort of protest of convenience.
It didn't do shit.
No, it didn't do anything.
You went home at the end of the day. You didn't really risk anything. You didn't lock yourself to anything, or for the most part. And people give each other a lot of credit now, like, oh, we went out there. And I'm glad people went out there. I went out there, too. But I don't think we did that much. And plus, if we did do anything, it took way too long, and it certainly wasn't effective enough because there are still people dying on both sides.
Okay, and this is where I have a problem with Hillary. In addition to the gay rights thing, like I go back and I get really excited about the sort of surface level things that a lot of other people are getting excited about, a lot of other second wave feminists like myself, which is, you know, that she has a vagina. And what ruins that excitement for me is like when she defended her stance on the war, which granted she's being very honest about, but she, well, not really, but she says, you know, I was defending the use of force. Like that is such bullshit. Like you gave a maniac, you approve the maniac the right to go in and invade a sovereign nation, you know, without evidence. That's bullshit. You know, so here she's a warmonger, clearly, and I'm a pacifist. That's one of my main foundations of my personality. How am I supposed to vote for this woman? You know, this is a choice. Somebody who's who won't just plainly say a simple thing that in this day and age when a woman can be president, a lesbian doesn't have the same rights as a straight woman. That's ludicrous. And then I'm supposed to vote for the Schwerze, who says that he thinks gay people are, you know, not morally as good? Give me a fucking break. Who the fuck am I supposed to vote for? They're throwing away votes from the left wing like me.
Well, so there are a lot of people that felt that way who were more either completely apolitical or conservative-minded. And and what's happened is a lot of those people got their energy together and got their act together and got organized.
And then they got Ron Paul.
Yeah, Ron Paul. So look, Ron Paul, yeah, I disagree with him. I'm not going to vote for him. I don't support him. But whose signs do I see all around my usually completely apolitical city and community? I see Ron Paul signs everywhere. So what does it take to get the peace movement or the left movement to actually get their act together and organize and do something beyond just going out and protesting? Say what you will about Ron Paul and his supporters. They're insane. But they put their money on the line. They organized. They got people out, and they got him double digits in some polls. So why didn't we do that for Kucinich?
A libertarian, and he supports big business. And people that want him to be in the office have money. They have stakes. Yeah, and people that want Kucinich in office, they're fucking on the streets. They're in FEMA trailers in New Orleans. You know,
but I've met a lot of Ron Paul supporters around here who have nothing, who are completely disconnected from media and politics and have no money and power, and yet they're going around handing out stickers and CDs and stuff at like 7-Elevens and convenience stores for Ron Paul. What is it? What motivates them? Is it just this like pseudo-religious tinge to his movement? How come we couldn't pull that off for Kucinich? That's what I don't understand. Like, you think the whole anti-war movement would have formed and around his
Kucinich. What Kucinich represents is excellent, but I happen to think he's a pussy. And Ron Paul doesn't come off as a pussy. He speaks well, he presents well, he makes his points. And whereas Kucinich, it's just like, I mean, I'm sorry, but I like his principles and everything. I can't see him being president. He's just like a victim. Yeah, and Ron Paul, he does present well, I think, and he does come off as a leader, albeit crazy and a hair lip with a big bulbous nose. I really don't know. I'd have to ask the people. I mean, I've been trying to find out from Jan McLaughlin, how can you vote for a guy who's pro-life? But then I don't know. Some people tell me she's already was pro-life, but she evades the question so much that I have no... It's just weird, you know? So I don't know. I guess the thing... I don't know. I haven't really asked any Ron Paul supporters other than that.
On the Kucinich thing, I think one thing that's going on, and I'm guilty of this as well, despite all my rhetoric, progressives in the United States do not actually believe that they have friends. I mean, like, they have numbers,
and they don't actually
believe that they'll win. And I'm with that. I don't have the confidence. Even if I say, like, oh, people together, you know, if they really stopped working, they could stop, you know, movement. You could lay down your tools or whatever, and you could stop everything. But the truth is, I just don't have the confidence that a progressive candidate, Kucinich or not, could win in America, because I think America doesn't...
But you know what's interesting, and this is on one of these, you know, I've listened to all these Democracy Now! Debates, and they have interesting conversations with all different people related to these election. What I found across the board is there's a lot of sort of minority situations. Hillary, you know, woman, we've got Black, Obama. And the thing that they all have in common is all of these little subgroups. The women don't think Hillary can be elected, but they're trying. The Blacks don't think it's really possible for a Black to be elected. And I think maybe what you're talking about is the same thing. Maybe it's just this sort of maybe it's unfounded. Maybe the progressive can. I mean, why not? If now, not when? I think, you know, who's really responsible is like MSNBC, you know, going to court, getting Kucinich off the debate as the fourth candidate, which was totally illegal, totally anti-democratic, yet a court actually approved that decision.
I mean, you know what I don't get about all that is it's private media. Like, I don't like MSNBC, but I'm not going to sit around pretending that they're just or fair. I'm surprised Kucinich has nerve, I guess, in that instance. You know, MSNBC is a private company, right? General Electric, Richard writes.
But they're a media company. I believe they're subject. I mean, they're subject to something. They're not like
barely
it's
anything.
Not like.
And he found something they are subject to, and I guess he brought it to court, and that's good. But I when I look at corporate media, I'm looking at corporate media. I don't believe I'm ever going
to
see.
Right. So how do we get more people to understand that? Because when I look at corporate media too, I think, okay, this is just Soviet propaganda. I just assume that from the beginning. The vast majority of people don't think about that or think about the media at all. How do you spark that awareness? I mean, what do you?
You go
I'm
on
sure
the
you're trying to do
you
this,
make
Mark.
A podcast and you tell people to go fuck yourselves and talk about your vagina.
I think it's school. I think it's like whatever year you start learning your ABCs, you start learning about how things work. You learn biology, you learn the basics of life, and you got to learn how you get your information and who's behind your information. I think it's in school. And the problem is our schools suck. And
okay, so what do we do now, though, for existing adults, though? Like, what changed with these tech geeks you were talking about who were mostly concerned about Nokia cell phones and now suddenly you're talking about the presidential race? I mean, do you have any ideas as to why suddenly now they're talking about politics? I mean, or is it just the flavor of the day, or – what
because now it's
that?
A horse
bacon.
Race, and they
it's
don't
bacon.
Mind talking about horse race. They talk about pop culture. They take safe topics. Tech is the most safe topic ever.
It's a lack. It's the lack of self-reflective ability.
Yeah.
You know, tech is tricky because you act like you're talking about something that's just a hobby and this is interesting. But the truth is, you're selling shit. You don't even know it, and you're selling shit. You're selling objects. You're selling a lifestyle. And so tech just goes by undetected.
Well, you should really listen to this Gilmore Gang, And I don't even know where to find it. I mean, the other problem with the tech people is they post their shit in such cryptic ways that nobody could possibly figure it out. Like, it was a Twittergram encapsulated by a Facebook thing. And the whole, I mean, it took me like 12 hours to figure out where this fucking show was posted. But anyway, but the way they talk about this election, it's like, you know, one of them's for Obama, the other's for Clinton. Then they bring somebody on the phone and he's for Edwards. And none of them have any reasons. It's all about the horse race. It's political science, you know. Well, I think he can be Dan Farber. Who do you think? Oh, well, then what do you think? Theme song time. Got to go eat, you know. Ha ha ha. It's just fucking retarded.
In the chat, Flame Ape said, "But given the 2000 Florida election theft, the abuses of corporate America being buddies with all facets of government, etc., why should we be surprised about Kucinich being cock-blocked from the debate? Public or not, it's proof to me that for the time being." The neocons won. So what do we do then? Okay, yeah, they have won. So how do we respond to that? Do we just vote for Hillary Clinton because you're a woman and she's a woman? You're going to just basically keep it on that shallow
Kucinich,
level?
Is Kucinich still on the ballot in Florida?
Yeah, I think.
So what you do is you vote for whoever you think is the best candidate, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, given that scenario, I'm just not saying I would, but I probably would at this point vote for Kucinich. Again, I have to make my disclaimer that my opinion changes every week, but yeah.
What you were saying earlier about the, well, he's Obama's black, so blacks might vote for him, or women might vote for Hillary. Yeah. Is it really, we have to keep it on that shallow of a level? Because there's so many progressive women who would want to vote for Hillary, but she doesn't represent anything you stand for. So.
Right.
Is everyone reduced to the same superficial level?
I don't think so. And I don't think I think most people aren't really voting. I think a lot of people are voting superficially, but not quite along gender and race lines. I see a lot of people that are voting along superficial lines. Like they see Obama, you hear this a lot, he's an agent for change. He wants change. But change of what? And Hillary's criticism of him in one of those debates was valid, according to my friends who actually, you know, legislate in Springfield themselves, that he has either not shown up for votes or he just votes present. He does not do the work. This man is a speaker. He is a, what do you call it? You know, he's a motivator.
A rallying point, yeah.
But he doesn't do the work. Hillary can do work because she's a warmonger. There's no easy solution. And for me, neither of them believe that I, as a human lesbian, have any rights. So, you know, I could see choosing between Obama and Clinton because, you know, if there were some better, if they were a little further apart, I mean, I think Obama really is anti-war, so that's good. But I don't know. I don't buy it. I don't believe him. That's the problem. I don't believe him, and I think Hillary is believable, but I think she's a warmonger. And that's where I stand. Because of the gay rights. And even with those two, considering that, I could still choose between them. But it's the gay rights thing. That's what throws me over the edge. Because it really bothers me that Al Gore can make a position on that. And it only happened yesterday. But I want to see if one of them is willing to do so. And I bet not. Because they're so afraid of the Republicans and the Christian right. But the reason the Christian right has done so well since Reagan is because they stand up for their beliefs, even if they're fucking nuts.
They have no problem, no fear in standing up and saying,
right,
change the Constitution for God. And yet we have very, very few, if any, on the left that will take other similar positions or any, you know, the opposite.
Well,
position,
yeah, the opposite position, which is, yes, I believe everybody should have the right to food, clothing and shelter. And here's why it makes sense, because if bird flu comes out, then everybody will have a doctor and then we won't all die. You know, it's so easy to make these arguments. But progressives can be such pussies, and they're not represented. And I don't believe progressives are even represented, aside from Kucinich, in this election.
Only in the House.
Yeah, and I don't even hear any talk about that shit. I mean, we just had an election in 2006 where it was such a big deal. Everybody talked about it, just like they're talking about now. Like, oh, we're going to get Democratic. So Democrats won. They got a House, and what happened? Fucking nothing happened. So we'll get a president in 2008 that does fucking nothing except, you know, make some more don't ask, don't tell shit, hopefully fixes the budget. But see, I thought for a while Hillary is good because she's going to fix, you know, she's got Bill there, they can fix the budget, they have a track record of Clinton's. But then I thought, you know what, because of the hegemony of the U.S., these fixes for the budget, you know, and cutting debt and all that. None of that's going to work if we don't change our foreign policy drastically and our whole personality. And we have to implement real health care, or else people are going to keep going broke. I mean, we are broke. We've spent, we as American citizens have spent decades accumulating debt, and it's come home to roost. And that's one of the things Max was totally right about. And it's all just happening like clockwork. And Bush wants to give everybody an $800, you know, shot in the arm, as he calls it, which is steroids. You know, I mean, it's fucking insane. So the solution for me is we're fucked. The end.
Or do we focus just wear on like local candidates and individual representatives one at a time, and just have to say, okay, it's going to take 30 or 40 years of working of education and so on, or
of global warming, so we're all dead. I don't think we have that kind of time. Really,
I think there are a lot of people that are focusing on the state. I mean, even Ron Paul supporters, you know, Ron Paul's always like, oh, the states will figure it out for themselves. Federal government will do nothing. And I mean, there's a good potential there, because there will be some states that make more sense in terms of taking care of their people and making it possible to live a decent life without having a lot of money. But the problem I have with that, of course, as we talked about, is that there are states that I think will not handle their state properly. And what I mean by not handling it properly is they're going to let people die in masses because they don't care culturally. And I don't think that's right. You know, I don't like to tell people how to, you know, run their culture. You know, there's a limit to how much I like to say, but I think there's certain things we agree on. And one of those is you shouldn't just let people die because you want to have certain
and
people.
And you would think that would be something that everybody in the world could agree on, but they're not. I know people that are just – that basically think that anybody who can't, you know, earn their own living deserves to fall off the face of the earth. Crazy people deserve to fall off the face of the earth. Right. You know, everybody should earn a living. Everybody should work, because work is the only way to create a valid existence.
So that's the problem with the whole focus on the local. I mean, focus on the local is extremely important, and I think it is happening in some states, especially in like Northeast. I see candidates and people who have been elected who are really good and doing good things for their local area. But then you got the federal government that has a lot of power when it wants to have a lot of federal power. And you have states that are run by, you know, mongoloids.
I mean, I think Chicago's a good example of a fairly well-run local government. We have well-run, we have some, like my alderman is extremely progressive. We still have, like, she's a socialist, admittedly. We have, you know, we have all these soup kitchens, and somehow we're not all being robbed, you know, and it works okay. But, you know, there's a lot of compromise in that. I think there's a lot of good local representation here, but the schools still suck ass, because where are we going to get the money from? We still have the no child left without, a big fat ass. You know, I mean, I don't see, well, the thing is that my chief complaint, I wrote this on my notes too, is environment. Nobody's fucking talking about the environment. The climate scientists are going crazy screaming, you know, like in Horton Hears a Who, you know, help, our planet is fucking dying in 20 years. The polar ice caps could melt. And everybody constantly forgets this. I mean, this is the issue. Without the planet, we have no reason. We have none of these other problems. You know, the Earth is fucking melting. This is a real issue, and we have polluters. And then we have, you know, and then Bush is talking about how he's going to give everybody $800 so they can consume more, when consumption is one of the main causes of this problem. You know, just making iPod after iPod, and now Apple makes a disposable Mac that doesn't even have a user replaceable battery that you just fucking throw away, and it goes back and creates more garbage and more pollution. You know, this is the chief problem that nobody will fucking talk about. And Ron Paul, I don't get these fucking Ron Paul supporters. To me, they're idiots, because if you look at his environmental policy, there is none. His environmental policy, and you can look on his website, is, well, let people sue polluters.
Right,
which is
turn it
retarded.
Over to corporations.
Now, this is irresponsibility on the part of educated people. It shows the desperation, but it doesn't make me feel sorry for somebody who's stupid enough to vote for a pro-life, libertarian, Ayn Rand, Republican moron who thinks that the answer to the world melting is fucking suing people. When you can't, you know, what am I going to do? I'm a lesbian. I'm going to get my $2 an hour lawyer to sue, you know, Monsanto? Give me a fucking break. That's just reeks of idiocy, and that's irresponsible voting. Yeah, that's
so there's Yeah. There's a section of people, though, that bought into that, that buy into that, who usually were not politically connected because there was an organization of Ron Paul supporters to get his right. message out to them. There doesn't exist the organization of media on the left side to do that. That, I think, all these things we're talking about, it keeps coming back to, well, nobody talks about this, nobody knows about what's going on.
But I think
Chicago
there is
politics.
An organization, like Democracy Now is an organization. They have
right.
a
that's
huge
a,
audience.
That's a, that is a great one. That's a good yeah. one. But it's just one step because we're going up against a 24-hour-day, 7-day-a-week propaganda
well,
machine.
Look, I'm trying to get in. I'm trying to do it. You've seen yeah. what happened. I mean, that's why I've been so desperate in this situation. I'm practically ready to shut down the audio podcast here, which is why I'm doing this fucking fakakta shit. I'm going to put my fucking makeup on. Democracy Now! Is probably the best, you know, news in this country that I've seen. And, you know, you can't get it on TV. You have to go to fucking satellite dish next to public access, and it's only on 4 days a week in a big city like Chicago. Because the other day you have to show, you know, the Chicago school board hearings because it's on the same fucking channel. Or you go to channel 8,100 million on Sky TV. Yet these idiots that have absolutely no news substance whatsoever, like Ann Coulter and all these other people, or the guy that, you know, they'll say wonderful things for an hour and then they'll get YouTube like Olbermann, who is wonderful. But they'll get, you know, hearing. But that stuff isn't news like Democracy Now! Is. And I do this, Mark, I know you have the same problem, but we work really hard to get truth out, and nobody wants to fucking hear it. And whose fault is that but the people in this country and all over the world, whoever else, is responsible for having intellectual laziness? I can't blame anybody but the citizens of this planet.
That's true. Also, at the same time, the vast majority of people in my area, even though Democracy Now! Is on at 8 p.m. on the radio every day here, they don't know what Democracy Now! Is. Most people don't know, and that's what's so damning about a lot of these technologists in San Francisco, the media crowd, is because their whole thing was, we can bypass the mainstream media, we can present these different ideas, we can have an outlet. And what have they done? They've betrayed all of that.
Right.
They've just proven themselves to be as shallow and as pointless as anything
yep.
else. So
absolutely.
What you have to do is use the tools and say to hell with it and just put it out there like we're doing. And so then it's back to us just
right.
not having any money to do it. But that's probably been the problem from the beginning.
But without an audience, it becomes extremely discouraging. I mean, not having a money and doing something, you know, with the idea of something growing is one thing. And I think it's working to an extent, because I think a lot of, you know, despite the bad things, that at least there is some positive buzz. But, you know, this is one of the reasons why, like, when I met, you know, John Edwards, he and I said, well, you know, I talked about Democracy Now. He'd never even heard of it. He had never even heard of it.
Right. That's what I mean.
I mean, I think like Adam Curry is a perfect example of what you're talking about. I mean, here's the person who really, you know, the word invent is debatable, but he's definitely the person that brought podcasting to the front and foremost. And then he just very easily and without very much effort, as much effort as it takes to blow the like thingies off of a dandelion seed thing, he just basically let himself get sold out to the huge interests like Apple, like, oh, Steve Jobs, wow, you're my hero, fuck me, you know, and then it's over. And now you got tits, and all you got podcasting is tits, you know?
Well, my problem is the audience. I mean, I think, you know, let Adam obviously do what he's doing, and if people want to listen to him, let them listen to him. But what's disappointing is that if you talk about tech, if you talk about flying around on planes,
yeah,
that is more, for some reason, more interesting, more worthy of people's time than anything that educates them, anything that challenges
right.
their.
But
their
that was still, but that was still a valid and new form of podcasting. But what happened is now, if people don't even get a chance to see that, because the first thing they see when they see a podcasting is all this, you know, bad
yeah.
versions of mainstream media. They don't get to see that. They don't get to see, you know, they don't see me on the front page of anything. You know, they have to dig for me and you.
It's true. I mean, that is really annoying.
Yeah. They're not even exposed to us. And that's the fault of the media company. There's a lot of blame here. But that's the fault of the media companies. And the media companies, if they were smart, they would stick to their guns, but they've been in Silicon Valley beating each other off for so long, they lose perspective. And that's what happens when people pump you with venture capital, and you know, you just start beating each other off, you lose your perspective. And, you know, whereas if they still had perspective, they would say, you know what, we need to stick with these podcasts that are original, that made podcasting, because these shows couldn't have existed any other way, and that's what we have to sell, instead of making copies of things that we will never be able to be as good as, because we don't have the money to meet the production value. you know, like fucking Callie Lewis with her goddamn speaking in tongues, cankles, and lying ass.
Oh, and that's why I wanted to do this show with you on public access TV and to actually take some kind of action to get the larger exposure. And it's also why, you know, we joke a lot about Robert Scoble, but it's based on something very valid because look at how much coverage that imbecile gets and how much people talk about that idiot. That puts to lie everything else that they're – all the platitudes they voice about this medium.
And one second. Tape's ending. Tape's ending. Bye. Bye. See you, tape. Okay, we can still talk.
So
– but you're right. Scoble represents – I mean, he is. He does. He's not just representative. He really is it. But he is a buffoon of buffoons. He has accomplished nothing. And I think about this a lot. Like, I think about, like, okay, if somebody says, you know, well, what did Madge Weinstein do? You can list things. Like, I can say, here's what I've done. These are the things I have done. What? I still don't know what Robert Scoble has done. He just is fat and goes to conferences with his fat son, and he videotapes people videotaping him as he competes to see who can get, you know, the most options on a MacBook Air. I mean, this is, you saw the video.
So do you just totally disengage like I have from a lot of that world, or you're still somewhat connected to it because of your affiliation with Pancho. How do you make those mechanisms, those structures work to get out this message, to go beyond that stuff? How do we take advantage of it, or we just say to hell with it, we'll use the tools?
I think I'm doing what I can by just making fun of the fucking assholes and
pointing out the absurdity of paying so much attention to him all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm using it. I'm not just pointing out the absurdity. I'm trying to use that to get hits to my show. I mean, it's not just this.
Sure.
I'm not doing this conceptual thing. It's like, if I tag my show with Scoble, and then Scoble, when they type Scoble into Technorati, which nobody does, by the way, and when you Technorati's turned into a big crappy advertising machine. I mean, it's shit.
Eclectic News Brief, the idea that if someone's looking for tits, since so many people are, if we can just sneak in some stuff that actually gives you some information, maybe gives you some new information.
But you know what? Speaking of that, looking at the stats long term, that show has done much better than I thought. It's one of the most popular shows that I do, you know. So I might have to go back to it, but the production is just so much fucking work. But it's nice to know that people actually do watch that.
Well, Mark, you're redesigning your page, and you were talking about the issues of dealing with getting exposure to an audience, getting your show seen. What do you think about this? Do you think we should just disengage totally from the existing tech, kind of the bullshit web world, and just try and use the tools? Or is there a way we can use it to our advantage? Or what do you think?
I think we need these people. I mean, it's great that we might be able to reach regular new people. That's why I'm trying to redesign the site so that people who have no clue, you know, because there's so many, who just come to the website with a slight bit of the will to learn something new. If I want those people to be able to understand immediately. And that is so hard, obviously. So I'm trying to make it simple for regular people, but we need all these tech people. I mean, imagine in the chat room right now, how many people are tech savvy? Like 75%? At least,
probably,
you know,
more. To get here, yeah.
And so we need some of these people, and I would say some of these people would be interested if they could find us, or if they did find us. Not me, says 13964. Tim Pritlove is on a train in Germany talking to us.
Tim.
Yeah, hi, Tim. So I think we need to reach some of these tech people. That's why it is funny to play with the Robert Scoble thing, because maybe someone does accidentally find us. Who knows?
Can I read a Twitter I wrote yesterday, because I kind of liked it? And I had to shorten it because it only allows 140 characters. But I read, instead of switching from one form of instead of switching to another form of communications every few months, why can't we keep the technology the same and make the people more interesting?
Message is stronger.
You know, like, we just change technology. I mean, the shit, like, Seismic is such a pile of shit. The things people talk about, and everybody should sign up for Seismic just to see this. I've never seen humanity hit lower depths of vapidity, stupidity, and all, you know, considering, you know, intelligent people just reducing themselves to the lowest number of brain cells that will function and still keep their face muscles and vocal cords working. It's the most disgusting thing. I mean, yesterday they had Pirate Day. You know, let's wear an eye patch. The other day I tried to make a statement and somebody replies, well, I don't know. You really need to wear a hat because it's hat day. I'm like, could you please die and leave a grease stain that some fucking Mexican cleaning woman can clean up before she gets kicked out of the country for being for stealing our money?
Jesus. So far, I don't like it either, but I have to say, you know, little things do happen, you know, by miracle, by chance, and two or three really interesting and interested people have gotten in touch with me because of Seismic. Like,
really?
Here I am, I didn't think anybody gave a shit, and like three people email me regularly now, subscribe to my podcast, whatever. So, you know, little things do happen, but it is a shame that in a whole site, again, as if we didn't have enough on the internet, is not really about anything. And it's not that everything has to be about something, right?
But, well, you know, it's an interesting... I don't know where I saw this, but somewhere there's a very revealing Seismic thing, and it might be on their YouTube list of shows, but there's one of Loic L'Amour and Van and that guy with all the hair everywhere going to their VC, their venture capital...
VC.
Their venture capital whatever source in England, in London, and kissing their ass. And you see the whole thing on video, and it is so revealing and so pathetic. And all you see is Loic saying, how can we be like Skype? We want to be like Skype, because it's the same company, that the same VC that funded Skype. We want to be like Skype. We want to be like, well, you suck and die. Bye. Yeah, that's what I would say. And the guy, the VC representative, is like 12 years old. And he's like, just let her run. You did it. Now you just got to watch it happen. Like, this guy is so talking out of his ass. Like, he saw somebody else say that. Yeah, I mean, it's like, oh.
By the way,
if
you look around at Seismic, there are people who identify themselves as investors, like as what they do.
Yeah.
And it's funny because if you listen to them, I'm worried. I mean, these are the people who have the power to fund something, to fund your program, your research, which could have impact on people's lives. But unfortunately, the people with the money, with the ability to sponsor you, oftentimes, from what I've seen, are either idiots or just, you know, their head is completely buried in the sand, and that's how they, those are the values that guide them.
True. And I would like to end this, but I would like to make an observation. You know, you hear all these people saying, well, it's the same election as it was in 92, it's the economy, stupid. I don't agree with that. I think it's the environment, stupid.
I didn't get to go through all my podcasts. I'm not going obviously.
You can go ahead. I mean, but we can close with that. But we have to end.
Okay. We'll do it another day.
You can post it if you want.
Okay. I'll do that. Also, I did want to add, it's a little late, but one show, like television, yes, a television show that I think is really telling about America and kind of inspiring in a dysfunctional way, The Wire.
Never heard of it.
I thought you were going to say, I'm happy being fat, but go on.
Do you know The Wire?
Yeah, True Life, I'm fat, as Cheryl's List.
Do you know The Wire, Chris?
I know of it. I've never seen it. I know the name.
It is about Baltimore, and if you ever want to see, I mean, I knew about Baltimore. It's not that different from Newark, but the death of an American city, and a truly American city, Baltimore. And it's all about this sort of corruption from the government to the police to the drug dealers themselves who have their own corruption. And it's all connected. They're all the same kind of philosophy is behind what they do, which is, you know, screw somebody else, make a little money, can't look past your own little world. And it's an excellent show. Like, it is so telling. And there's even a section in the third season that I'm watching where a police chief is so fed up with crime and no support from his city council that he creates a neighborhood that he knows is abandoned. He tells all drug dealers they must go there. He creates a free zone. He calls it Hamsterdam. And what's funny is when the city council discovers he's doing this, oh, by the way, all the cops are shocked he's doing this. They can't stand it. You know, they want their war on drugs, which wasn't working.
Right.
And the city council finds out, they're like, wait a minute, and they wouldn't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. They don't want to say you legalize drugs. And I'm not saying that we need to legalize drugs. It's just an example of they're so afraid of the concept. And then he gives them their stats, and he says that on all my corners, everywhere else in my district, it's safer. People are outside because the drug dealers have all been moved. They're all in one area, and everybody else can live their lives. And the mayor is so horrified at the idea that somebody might find out that there's a place where you can actually, you know, drugs are, quote, legal, that they don't even want to hear it. They want to cancel everything he's doing. They want to fire him. They want to punish him. Anyway, the point is not about legalizing drugs, but it is about watch this show, The Wire. It's the most brilliant show that has ever been. It's better than Sopranos. I mean, way better.
What network is it from?
HBO.
Oh, they make good programs. Now, I'm going to keep putting lipstick on until we end. Good. We really need to end.
I live in Baltimore. Gay Cub, do you know this program, The Wire? Of course, everybody there does, because I think everybody in Baltimore works for The Wire.
See, it's interesting how the best television programs by far are on the show, are on the networks where it's user-funded. I mean, really, did I lose people? I think I lost you.
We're here.
But really, Showtime and HBO are more publicly funded, you know, than PBS. I mean, PBS is funded by corporations.
Yeah. You know. By the way, I see Gay Cub saying he's never seen it. Not that you know, this should sway you either way, but there's even a there's a gay gangster, which is really, really interesting. He's awesome. And there's a nice lesbian cop for you, Madge. She's a narcotics.
That's
she's
redundant.
Awesome. She's excellent. A gay cop?
Mm-hmm. No, a lesbian cop.
A lesbian cop. Yes, she's black with a Q-U-E. And yes, the black gangster is also, yeah, he's black. The gangster who's gay is black. And it's interesting, like, how he handles himself and how the other gangsters are so, like, hate him just because he's gay. They hate him even more. But he's, like, the best character. And he doesn't back down from anybody. I mean, it's just, the show is so good. I'm done.
Hey, Mark, do you ever get anybody at the conferences you speak at agreeing with you that we need to do more with these communication mediums aside from talk about themselves on them, talking about it on it?
I think I do, but I don't see anybody starting much. The last time somebody came up to me and said, I agree with you, I'm starting my own, was I was at Brooklyn College in December, and I spoke to a class, and like these young kids, like 19, 20, just come up to me. They all live in Brooklyn. It's such a great audience. And they came up to me, and one kid said, I'm starting my own blog, and it's going to be about my community and who's doing what to fix things up, to improve things. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
We lost Chris, but okay. I got a question. Just the new Joker.
Why, thank you, honey. All right, we're going to end then.
All right, man.
Thank you for being on the program. And put if you send me those links, or just put them as a comment, and then I'll paste them into the blog post or something.
All right, I'll do that.
Whatever. Thanks for being on the program. Come back soon.
My pleasure. And thanks to everybody in the chat room. I love those people. Most of them.
And somebody fix Ustream. It's a piece of shit. Or else I'm going to have to go back to retard land. What?
Please, everyone, I want to tell everyone to get fucked. Like, it's nice when someone else does it.
Okay, you can do it.
Everyone, please, get fucked.
Okay. Bye. And I need to play a song after the get fucked.
My story is much too sad to be told. The only exception I know is the case when I'm out on a quiet spree, fighting vainly the old ennui, and I suddenly turn and see. Thank you.
no,
for me?
No, no, no.
Beep.